And grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We read a small section of our gospel lesson again from Luke chapter 11. If I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his estate, his possessions are secure, but when one stronger than he attacks and overpowers him, he takes from him all his weapons he trusted in and divides up his plunder. Anyone who is not with me is against me, and anyone who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit comes out of a person, it roams through waterless places looking for rest. And not finding rest, it then says, I'll go back to my house that I came from. Returning, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and settle down there. As a result, that person's last condition is worse than the first. As he was saying these things, a woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the one who nursed you. He said, Rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You can be seated. In the Bible, the word demon or demons is found 76 times. The word Satan is found 49 times. The word devil is found 33 times, but only in the New Testament. It's never used in the Old Testament. And the word spirit or spirits, when referring to demonic spirits, is found about 15 times in the Old Testament and about 46 times in the New Testament. And in all these cases, they are presented as real beings, never make-believe or myth. And here's the problem for those who wish to deny their reality, including some Christians wish to say that they don't really exist. Demonic beings are so closely connected to the historical events of the Bible that if they are not real demonic beings, the recorded history of the Bible must be doubted or denied as well, including the historical reality of Jesus found in the Gospels. It's really an all or nothing approach. And we, as confessional Lutherans, say it's all true, historically. Demons really, and the devil really do exist. In his book, 2000 Demons, Professor Alan Sorum of Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary says there are four basic ways that people in North America approach the subject of the devil and demons. Number one, they do not exist. Number two, they are very real, but need to be feared and repelled or avoided by some sort of pantheist or paganistic practice or ritual. Number three, they are real but not harmful, and their reality should be or can be explored so one can connect with them. Number four, whether or not they are real is of no concern to me, but because of my social circle, I will do those things that are associated with a spirit world, such as tarot cards or Ouija books or fortune telling, maybe books that deal with the occult, or maybe even seances, just for fun, of course. But in view of Scripture, all of these are not only inaccurate, but they are dangerous as well. So what I'm going to do is summarize a number of passages that deal with the devil and demons. There's a handout out there. I don't know if you got it, but on that handout there were a list of passages, and so you can read them on your own if you'd like at some point, but I'm just going to summarize them in a few paragraphs here. So first of all, they are real, and they are powerful, and we are no match for them. The devil is seeking to and very capable of devouring us. Satan and his evil spirits can mess with us at an individual level, on a family level, at a congregational level, with our church body. They can mess with us through government, our country. The devil can mess with us by disrupting the whole world, which he has undoubtedly done over the last year. The devil is a murderer. He is somehow behind the persecution, imprisonment, and martyring of Christians. Evil spirits are somehow behind every kind of bodily and emotional affliction. Just ask Job. And in some cases, as in our text, there is a bodily possession that takes place, resulting in bodily affliction. The devil also tempts people to sin, to lust, to commit fornication, to worry, to love money and possessions and the pleasures of this life, to seek power over others and harm others. He loves the temptation of pride and hatred. They are always there behind the scenes in all of these, even though the Christian has to take responsibility for his or her own sin always. But the goal always, and I emphasize always, because the devil is the liar, is to keep us away or direct us away from Christ, from his person, from his work of salvation and forgiveness by grace alone, for Christ's sake alone. He seeks to prevent us from coming to or lead us away from repentance and faith in Christ, to get us to doubt or deny or not understand the Word of God, which is all about Jesus, the Son of God, his cross, his resurrection, his eventual coming again at the end of all time. One more thing to glean from passages in the Bible. The liar, the devil, and his henchmen, demons, are always deceptive. They always scheme. They are masters at disguising themselves. They are not necessarily easy to detect. We see such an attempt in our text by means of defaming Jesus. Jesus performs a miracle. He casts out a demon, clearly showing that he is the promised one from God. No, 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 some say. He is not who he says he is. He is a tool of Beelzebul. That's how he performs his exorcism. And so Jesus has to shut down this lie. How can Satan work against himself, people? He would be undermining himself. And he continues, if you're going to say this about me, are you willing to say this about your own sons who do the same thing? And so Jesus defends the truth. In other words, even common sense would tell them when good things are done, when mercy is administered, when healing takes place, when deliverance occurs, and especially when they see with their own eyes that freedom from demons and Satan is accomplished with so little effort by this one man, the stronger one, who attacks and overpowers demons. It would be insane to attribute this to Satan, to Beelzebul, the prince of demons. Now, someone may ask, and it's a good question, we do ask this question, what's with all the demon possessions back then? Do they still occur today? The answer to the second question is yes. The evidence of demon possession and oppression is well documented. It does occur in some societies more than others, but it definitely remains a reality in our day. And some have suggested, and I agree, that demon possession is actually increasing in our society here. As to whether demon possession was more prevalent in the time of Christ, yes. And here's why. St. John tells us in his first epistle, we know that the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. But who's stronger, Jesus or the devil? Well, let's have a showdown. And that's what we find in the Gospels. Every time Jesus is confronted with a demon possession, that is a showdown. And every time, he easily, by the finger of God, drives out the demon, he wins the showdown. It's kind of like those Western cowboy movies. The bad guy is standing in the middle of the dirt road in the middle of town, waiting to take on the sheriff. And everyone is watching, often peeking out from behind windows and doors of the saloon or hotel, wondering if the sheriff will even dare to show his face. But the sheriff, the good guy, does come out. They face each other with their hands ready to draw their guns and shoot. The bad guy draws first, but the sheriff is quicker, much quicker, and he drops the bad guy with one perfectly aimed shot. The townspeople give a sigh of relief, and some of them say, well, that was a lot easier than I thought it would be. That bad guy didn't have a chance. Every time Jesus casts out a demon, he is showing his great power over the evil spirits and the evil one. One of the other places where this is so clear is when he drives out a legion of demons from a man in Mark chapter 5, and recorded a couple other places as well. What is your name? Jesus asked him. My name is Legion, he answered, because we are many. In human military might, a legion of soldiers back then would have consisted of 2,000, actually 2,048 to be exact, or more. When Jesus drove them out, they entered a herd of pig of 2,000 pigs, which were steered by the demons over a cliff and into the sea where they drowned. 2,000 demons. Just one of which we could not stand up against. 2,000 demons were no match for Jesus. 2,000. The true sheriff arrived for the showdown. Or more accurately, the true king had arrived. And he brings with him his kingdom. Unlike the ones who refused to acknowledge who Jesus truly was, this kingdom is for those who bow down before him in repentance and faith. Jesus, who has come to defeat the devil and demons. And to do so once for all, not by his great power, but by his innocent suffering and death. This was the only time when he was dealing with demons and the devil, you might say. This was the only time he did not draw his gun, but allowed himself to be gunned down. But in this losing, there is the hidden victory and freedom. There is the forgiveness of all our sins. There is freedom from the power of sin. There is freedom from the reign and the power of Satan. There is freedom from eternal death. A freedom that is free. The devil and his demons are always busy, scheming, plotting. This last year we have perhaps seen them busier than ever before in any of our lifetimes. The world, our nation, our community, the restrictions, the fear, the loneliness, the sicknesses, the deaths, increasing wickedness, unexpected and tragic afflictions, attacks upon the Christian church, faithful pastors, and other Christians. We have felt it within our families. We have felt it within our church body. We have felt it within our own congregation. Most, if not all of us, have felt it individually. Your pastor included. I've never been so thankful for the prayers of my brothers and sisters, never. And I am so thankful that you pray for one another. The prayers are heard and honored by God. But we are to remember, in the midst of the scheming, plotting, and attacks of Satan and his demons, what we are to remember is that Christ the crucified, Christ the risen, Christ the ascended, Christ sitting at the right hand of God the Father, is still and always will be the King, who has not only conquered, but also rules and governs and protects his own. The devil has no power over him and his faithful. The devil and his demons can harm us none. Jesus in our text leaves us with a warning. This is not the time merely to keep a demon out of our lives. It is not a time to have your house swept clean, looking nice, but unoccupied. This is a time, our King says, to have this house, this body, occupied. To have dwelling within this life of mine, within the life of the Christian, the King and his word. Blessed are those, said Jesus, who hear the word of God and keep it. At your baptism, Satan was cast out. Your sins were forgiven by faith. And you held the sure promise of eternal life. But if over the years or months you get lazy, even though outwardly you look clean and tidy. If you get lazy and you drift from the Word of God, from receiving the Word and sacrament, you know, if at all possible in some way, from receiving Jesus' amazing and powerful grace that sustains and protects you along the way, if you or I get lazy, then, as Jesus says, our last condition is worse than the first. But the good news is here we are today. And if you haven't been able to be here in person, you've been listening or watching online, and if members are not able to do either, we can bring the word to them somehow. But by that word, you are sustained in your Christian faith. And by that word, the devil and his demons have no power over you. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.